By good luck I had a piece of string with me, which I looped over two of his toes, placing a nice sharp pebble in between them. I put a stick through the loop and twisted it a little. It always used to liven the rugby fags up, although, of course, one couldn't go too far with them. And De Gautier's response was gratifying. He squealed and writhed, but I held his legs down easily. "You see, my boy," says I, "you'd better open your potato trap or it'll be the worse for you."
"You villain!" cries he, sweating with fear. "Is this how you treat a gentleman?"
"No," says I, enjoying myself. "It's how I treat a dirty, cowardly, murdering ruffian." And I twisted the stick hard. He screamed, but I kept on twisting, and his yells were such that I had to stuff my glove in his mouth to quiet him. I'd no real fear of interruption, for he had been at such pains to get me alone that I doubted if any of his precious friends were in the district, but it seemed best to keep him as mum as possible. "Nod your head when you've had enough, De Gautier," says I cheerfully. "When I've broken all your toes, I'll show you how the Afghan ladies treat their husbands' prisoners." And I went back to work on him. I confess that I thoroughly enjoyed it, as only a true coward can, for only a coward and bully really understand how terrible pain can be. De Gautier wasn't much braver than I am. A few more twists and he was jerking his head up and down like Punch, and for some reason this puts me into a great fury. I gave him a few more twists for luck, until the string broke. Then I pulled the gag out. He was groaning and calling me filthy names, so I taught him manners with the point of the knife in his leg. "Now, you bastard, why did you try to kill me?"
"It was the Baron's order. Ach, dear God!"
"Never mind God. What for? What about my £10,000, damn you?"
It was never intended that you would be paid."
"You mean I was to be murdered from the start, is that it?" He rolled over, moaning and licking his lips, looking at me with terror in his eyes.
"If I tell you all, oh, my feet, if I tell you, do you swear, on your honour as a gentleman, to let me go?"
"Why should I? You'll tell me anyway." "Oh, all right, then, on my honour as a gentleman. Now then." But he insisted that I swear on my mother's memory, too. What he thought all that swearing was worth, I can't imagine. But he wasn't feeling himself, I dare say. And foreigners tend to take an Englishman's word when he gives it. That's all they know. So I swore his oaths, and it all came tumbling out. The Prince Carl Gustav hadn't had pox at all. He was clean as an old bone. But Bismarck had plotted with Descartes to spirit him away and put me in his place, as they had indeed done. The pox story had simply been an excuse for my benefit, and if it seems ludicrously thin now, I can only assert that it seemed damn convincing coming from Bismarck in his lonely stronghold with Krafstein waiting to fillet me if I didn't believe it. Anyway, their little plan was that after a few days, when Strakens was convinced it had got a genuine consort for its duchess, I was to be murdered in the Jotun Gipfel, and De Gautier was to vanish over the German border. There would be a hue and cry, and my body would be found and carried back to Strakens amid general consternation. And then, wonder of wonders, papers would be found in my clothing to suggest that I wasn't Prince Karl at all, but a daring English impostor called Flashman, an agent of Lord Palmerston, if you please, and up to God knows what mischief against the security and well-being of the Duchy of Strakens. There would be chaos and confusion, and a diplomatic upheaval of unprecedented proportions. I couldn't take it in at first. "You bloody liar! Do you expect me to believe this cock and bull? For that matter, who in the world would credit it?"